Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall.
Welcome back. Richard, we talked yesterday about switching around our schedule just a little bit.
Right.
We were going to talk today about some parenting techniques for catching kids being good, but instead we shifted it around a little bit because today we're going to talk about an article from Psychology Today entitled, "When Did We Stop Talking to Each Other?"
Right.
And it goes along very well with our podcast from yesterday about Facebook.
Right. Yesterday we talked about Facebook and the changes in Facebook.
Right.
And how those changes mean, and you explained this to me, because I'm new at this, at this Facebook thing.
This thing is.
There was another article yesterday about teens not using Facebook. You know, that always comes up. But Facebook is going to change, have less content, and more, hopefully more, what Mark Zuckerberg wants is more social interaction.
Right.
And what the author of that article said is that the social interaction is going to lead to social comparisons, and social comparisons lead to mood, changes in mood, especially depression. When you compare yourself to others who seem to be doing things better than you or more than you, having more fun, having a richer life, it leads to social comparisons. Social comparisons leads to depression in many people.
Right? Yeah.
And so today, we're going to take the next step.
Right, because this is an article written by Susanna Hallinen, I believe, and she is a life coach and writer based in London.
And something about this article made me think it was written by a man. Every time I read it, I'm thinking a guy wrote this article. I don't know why. But
That's interesting. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. It just seems like it was written by a guy. So I'm always feel a little bit better when I know it was written by a woman.
Okay.
And I'll explain why as we go along.
All right.
Okay.
Well, great. Well, so in this article, I love the way that she starts out talking about, you know, just this real life situation. She steps out on the sidewalk to start to be on her way and immediately has to start maneuvering around people consumed by their phone.
You know, in China, they have lanes that cell phone users can walk in where there's no expectation that they're watching where they're going.
Right.
So if you don't want to do that, you have to get in the other pedestrian lane.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Gives me goosebumps.
Over there in China, in Japan, they always seem to be on top of that, all of that stuff, whether it's the cell phone lanes or it's the
I'd love to have cell phone lanes here. I mean, don't get me started.
Yeah. So, you know, again, so she's writing about the fact that we're consumed by media, by technology, oftentimes by social media, because most of the time when we're walking around looking at our phones, we're looking at social media.
Right.
And sort of the premise of this is that we're so involved in social media that we can't be social.
That's right. That's right. Or at least we're doing it that way.
Right. 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 We're not having interpersonal interactions. We're just consumed by the technology.
We are with our phone. We are in our phone.
Yeah. More virtual social interactions than real life interactions.
Right. Right. So she manages to walk down the street.
Right.
And negotiate that traffic where people are not paying attention and bumping into each other. And then she goes into a restaurant. And what does she find? And lo and behold, what does she see?
Similar stuff.
What we all see when we go to a restaurant these days is you have couples seated at a table, and instead of talking to each other, each person is on his or her device.
Right, right.
And she said 90% in the restaurant that she went into.
Right.
She said 90% of the people were on their devices.
Yeah. And then she threw in some more numbers.
Right.
She said that, you know, most people check their phone 150 times a day.
I love the little numbers that she provides here.
Well, that not so little numbers. 150 times a day we check. And she was sure to add in that that's once every 6 minutes.
And, yes. And I think it's more than that. I think it's far more than that.
That people do it more often.
Right.
Well, that's That's an average.
That's an average.
Yeah.
Right.
So there's some.
So
people
there's
who,
people like me who don't.
Right.
And then that means somebody else is doing it,
you know,
more than every 6 minutes.
Right.
Okay. And another nice, interesting number is
46% of people say they couldn't live without their phone. So that's almost
half the people.
Yeah.
Can't live.
Yeah. Now, okay. So of course, and we've talked about. I'm more into technology than you are. So I will say...
Master of understatement.
So I will say, there's a lot of things that I use my phone for with related to work and related to things.
True.
That if I didn't have it, life would be much more different. Now, I wouldn't say that I couldn't live without it, but it keeps me organized.
Sure.
It keeps me, you know, it's my schedule. It has, you know, my calendar, all that stuff in there. So without that, it would... things would be much more difficult.
And she says several times in the article, I'm not asking you to throw it out.
Right.
And I'm not, I mean, it does some wonderful things.
Right.
I mean, it really is an enormous convenience factor. But we have to acknowledge that it's getting in the way.
Right.
Now, there's a word that we don't use on this program. It begins with an S.
Uh-huh.
Because this is for public consumption.
We can use that word.
No, I won't use it. Because each time I have, you've roundly criticized me.
I have not.
But isn't that surprising? That
it
one
is.
Out of three?
Right. One out of three people say that they would rather give up sex than their smartphones.
Than give up a smartphone.
Right.
That doesn't surprise... The problem is that doesn't surprise me.
Right. Right.
Astonishing.
Right.
Not surprising.
Yeah.
Okay? Because I know that... I know some people who... I mean, we do clinical work here.
Right.
And we hear people mm-hmm. who have told us, couples who have told us, my spouse brings
right.
her phone to bed.
Right.
My husband brings his, and he's playing video games
mm-hmm.
while we're in bed.
Right. Yeah. So it's clear that, and this is where the whole idea and of cell phone addiction comes, is that we're so consumed by it.
That's what she's... kind of rubbing up against here is that
right.
this is what we mean by addiction. I mean, when you think that 46% of people say they can't live without it, that's
right.
addiction.
Right.
I mean, one out of three people say they would give up everything
mm-hmm.
before they would give up their cell phone. I mean, to me, that's what that means.
Right.
They will give up anything else,
right.
but not that.
Right.
You know, that's addiction.
Right.
I don't know what else you would call it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I like what she does here is she kind of
right.
offers some tips to help get you back on the right path of you know, creating
right.
some separation between you and your technology.
Yeah, because she says, you know, again, right before that, she says, we're not asking you to give it up, but let's acknowledge that excessive phone use leads to, and she mentions things like in children, interrupted development, social
right.
development, emotional
mm-hmm.
development, obesity. People who
yeah.
use their phones more tend to be more obese because
right.
they're sedentary. So, but then she said, but okay, so we have all these negatives. So what can we do?
Right.
And that's what I really like about this article.
Right.
What can we do? And some of these are pretty bold.
Yeah.
And I have two favorites, but let's go through them.
All right. So the first one is to keep the first hour of your day smartphone and screen free.
Okay. Probably 2 or 3 years ago, there was a management expert who wrote in one of his books, he begins his day... and he doesn't turn his computer on so that he doesn't have to check email.
Yeah.
And so he does many things. I think it's the first hour of the day
mm-hmm.
where he said he does, or he doesn't turn it on until he gets to work. That's what it was. He said, I don't turn my email on. I don't check email until I get to work.
Right.
Because if he starts responding to email messages,
right.
that's all he gets done.
Right.
So this way he reserves that time before he gets to work to do other things. And
right.
that's what she's advocating here.
Yeah.
Start without it. Do
right.
your exercises, do whatever else you do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is to keep the last hour of your day
right.
smartphone and screen free. and that's a nice transition mm-hmm. to sleep. We talked about good sleep
right.
hygiene. You know, that's a really good advice for that.
I'm chuckling. Warning here, I do that.
Mm-hmm.
I turn my phone off.
I know you do.
And I've taken a lot of heat for that. So, guess people go, why didn't you answer my email last night? And I turn my phone off anywhere after 8:30 or 9 o'clock. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I just shut it off.
I can always tell.
It's off. So, and people will chide me. They'll criticize people like... Dr. Burney, will say, "Why didn't I didn't hear from you last night?" You won't hear from me after about 9 o'clock most nights, including weekends.
Yeah.
I turn it off at night, and I don't turn it on in the morning until I'm ready to start working, because mm-hmm. I'd like to do my writing in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and if I turn my phone on, it starts.
Right.
If I don't turn it on, I'm able to concentrate on my writing.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to take a little heat for these two.
Yeah.
For not turning it on in the morning and for turning it off at night.
Yeah. I can always tell.
But turn it off anyway.
Number three is make your bedroom a sacred no technology zone.
Ain't going to happen.
A lot of people, that's not going to happen for most people.
That is not going to happen for some people. You should.
Yeah.
We advise people to do it all the time. Parents come in and say, okay, we're going to do that. Mm-hmm. No. Their kid's bedroom has a computer, it has an iPad, it has a phone.
Mm-hmm.
Kids take their phone to bed. I have to use it as an alarm clock.
Mm-hmm.
Has our country stopped producing alarm clocks? No. But they have to take their cell phones to bed for an alarm clock. Right.
Yeah.
Shut it off. Especially if they're kids. Take their phones, lock them up somewhere so that they don't take their phones to bed.
You make me laugh. I thought you were going to break into, like, you know, buy American-made alarm clocks. Make America great again.
Make America.
All right, number four is to turn all notifications off. Now, I've heard a lot of people.
Now, what are notifications?
Oh, my gosh. See.
So this is like Instagram and Snapchat and all that?
Mm-hmm.
I guess I don't get notifications because
you have to use those things.
A person in this office. Wait. A person in this office chided me. I keep using the word chided. Chided me yesterday. Teased me yesterday about you didn't respond to my Snapchat over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know there was a Snapchat. I mean, so that means my notification isn't turned on. Mm-hmm. I mean, nothing went off. I didn't hear a sound. Right. Nothing happened.
Unless it went through when your phone was off.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. I can.
No,
I'll show you.
Because I never get. So
I'll show you.
The only time my phone goes off is when I get a text
mm-hmm.
or a
that's
phone
a notification.
Call.
I'll show you. I think you get some. I just don't think you recognize that that's what it is.
Oh.
Number five is keep.
Sometimes ignorance is bliss.
Sometimes.
And this is the case where it is.
Sometimes.
I mean. Okay.
There was a really interesting article a couple of years ago about that. Did you read that article?
Ignorance is bliss.
Uh-huh. And they were saying that it really is.
Oh, yeah. We did a podcast
on
that.
That was really good. Number five is keep your phone in your bag if you're with your loved ones. And I'm guessing that this is one of your favorite ones.
Four and five were my favorites.
Yeah.
Okay. And five is my... Yes. When you're with me, keep your phone put your phone somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Leave it in the car.
Right.
If we go out to eat, leave your phone... in the car, that'd be best. Mm-hmm. Actually, the best thing would be leave it at home. Don't even bring it with you.
But that's not realistic.
Second,
reason that people want to have their phone is if they need to get in touch with somebody, if somebody needs to get in touch with them, I mean, that was the purpose of the mobile phone to begin with. So people aren't going to leave it at home. I'm just saying, right? Is that wrong?
I lived a long time before cell phones. Dealt with
emergencies. Amazingly.
Dealt with emergencies.
Uh-huh. Richard, we live in a different world. But
emergencies happen faster.
Well, because there are vehicles now. You know, back when everything was horse and buggy.
So, the best thing would be leave it at home. Second best thing, leave it in the car. Third best thing, turn it off and put it in your purse. Fourth best thing, put it on silent and put it in your purse. Don't let me see it. Don't bring it out. I won't bring mine out. I'll leave mine holstered. Holstered? Like a gun, right? No.
We're going back to the Wild West.
I'm not going to sit down and have dinner with you and put my phone beside you, beside me.
Mm-hmm.
That's like inviting another person. If I'm going to go to dinner with you, I'm going to go to dinner with you. If I want to invite somebody else, we'll invite somebody else. And then you know there's three people at the table.
Yeah.
There's you and me and the phone. That's three people.
I think that, and maybe this will be a discussion for another day, but I think that you're talking about a idealized scenario. And what I'm thinking is that, I mean, those things are going to happen. And I think that what she's saying here is hopefully consistent with what people would be more willing to do. Because I don't think that I don't think that there's any chance that most people would leave their phone at home. I don't think that most people would leave their phone in their car. I think leaving it in their bag, so, I think keeping it in their pocket and those kind of things, I think that that's something that people would be willing to do. But yeah, I don't know many people who would.
When I'm talking to somebody and their phone is out, especially if
they have notifications going on.
If I'm interested in the if I'm going out to dinner with you, and you know, you and I don't do very much because we work.
Right.
We work long hours. If I'm going to take time to be with somebody in that limited amount of time that we have for interaction, for social interactions, if I'm sitting at a table with you and I'm talking to you and I have your attention and your phone goes off and you say, oh my gosh, look at this. Look what so-and-so is doing. That's a deal breaker.
Yeah.
I mean, we're probably never going to see each other again.
We have to talk about this.
No, I mean, are you interested in this, or do you want to be with your other friends? If you want to be with your other friends, go ahead.
You're cranky today.
No, I'm not. I just
number six. Have at least one offline day a week.
Oh yeah, go ahead, try it.
That's what I'm saying.
Unrealistic, isn't it?
Yeah, I think
I have offline days, and I get in trouble every time I do.
I think that.
I had an offline day Saturday.
I know you did.
Boy, did I get hammered.
Yeah.
I got really hammered.
Well, not from me.
No.
I didn't hammer.
But there were some people who really, really tore into me because I didn't respond to them. I was with my kids. I was with my two older children. I spend precious little time with them. I turned my phone off because I wanted to be with them.
And that's great. But let me ask you this. Did they have their phones off?
No. Absolutely.
And that's what I mean. I think that there's a a generation gap, because I think that people who appreciate those social interactions would be more likely to do some of these kinds of things.
I don't think I turned my phone off. I think it was in another part of the house and I forgot about it,
right?
Which I frequently do. Right. I'm always looking for my phone because I don't carry it with me.
Right.
When I'm home, I'd leave it on my desk. Right. I leave it in the bath. I leave it all over the house. And I can't find it because it's on.
I remember one day you left the office and you came back and you I forgot my phone.
Right.
I was like, How do you leave your phone?
How do you forget your phone? That's so.
And I was going to say.
My kids say.
I was going to say, you should have just called me. I would have brought it to you, but you couldn't call me because you didn't have your phone. I
didn't have my phone.
So see, then you had to come all the way
back. I've left it in the car.
Yeah.
I've left my phone in cars, and I've had to go. I left my phone in Arizona one time. This woman had to bring it to the airport. And I couldn't call her, right? I didn't have my phone. So I said, how am I going to get in touch with this woman? And so she had to drive 20 miles to bring my phone back to me. It was in her car.
That's hilarious.
And so, but it is anomalous. My kid, you know, they say, how can you possibly forget it?
Yeah.
Well, because it's not attached to me.
Yeah.
But this is another one. You do it at your own peril. Because I had a friend of mine, really, she was really upset that I didn't respond to her.
And related to that one is number seven is an offline holiday every year. So
how long does she recommend for that holiday? Like a vacation?
She said...
like a weekend?
She said days, you know?
Boy, that would be hard to do.
She did a 10-day.
Wow.
Yeah, she said that she started out last year when she took a 10-day summer holiday and decided to go fully offline. That's it.
But you'd have to tell your friends and family. Look,
you would have to do that. And you know, clearly, there's a lot of other things that you're not going to be doing during that time. Again, because, like for me, I use my phone, you know, when I'm away from my computer, I'll use my phone for writing. I'll use my, because I have apps that will sync with it. And so I use my phone for writing and for, you know, some of the work that we do online with our practice here. So all of that stuff would have to stop too. And man, that's asking a lot.
Yeah, if you're working, that's different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like having and you're working at your computer. But the problem is all the wasted time. And we're going to talk about that later in the week about wasting time. But you say, how do you go without your phone for 10 days? But when you talk to people who do take these holidays, invariably, even the children say, that was really kind of fun.
Yeah.
Not having to worry about it. Or you go places. Like my son went, he hiked the Appalachian Trail and did some hiking in Colorado. And at those times, there are no cell phone towers, right. So we weren't able to contact right. him and hoped he survived and all that stuff. Yeah. But they enjoy not having their phone, taking right. that rest. And, you know, there is that book about reset your child's brain. Mm-hmm. And she recommends a 30-day fast. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She calls it a fast. And it resets the child's brain.
Right.
And calms.
She's not just talking about phones, though. She's talking about electronics.
She's talking about electronics generally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I really like this because I think it's a reasonable approach because she says we don't have to throw them out. Mm-hmm. And they do provide a valuable
right.
service. Right. I mean, it's a valuable addition. And you use it. You use it very well, except when you play Pokemon Go. But you use the phone wisely,
yeah.
okay? You don't do a lot of video games and all that yeah. stuff. Or you do the video games, you devote, you know, some amount of time,
right.
you know, when you're unwinding.
Right.
And we're going to talk a little bit about this stuff on Saturday
yeah.
when we do that special
yeah.
On Just Saying No.
Yeah.
But, no, it's a really good article. I really like it. I think it's good advice. We're not going to get rid of these things. We're not going to turn back the clock, but we have to approach them. We have to develop a new relationship with our technology.
Right.
That's what she's advocating, and yeah. that's what I like about this article.
Right. All right. Well, that is it for today, then.
And I'm going to be cranky tomorrow, too, so get ready.
It's going to be great.
This will be...
Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy.
That's never had more meaning than it does today, right?
That's right.
Okay, I'm going to be a curmudgeon tomorrow, too, so prepare.
And forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychRidge podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening, have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.